Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Pigeonhole Hockey, a participating member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris, and today's co-host, Sam.
How's it going, hockey fans?
And yours, we don't claim to be hockey experts, but simply overzealous hockey fans that love to play, watch, read, and talk about hockey. So how goes life, Sam?
It's going pretty good. I'm down in the Bay Area right now visiting my family for a couple days before I head out to New York to see my grandfather. So. Doing good right now. Eating some good food and went to a baseball game today, which was a lot of fun. Just getting some time off from the valley and time off from work and relaxing. So it's going good. How about you?
Go to a Giants game?
Yes, the San Francisco Giants played the Padres today from San Diego, and it was not the prettiest win, but a win is a win, so we'll take it.
A win is a win. The Sabres couldn't do that for me today, and I think they are – I don't think they're 100% officially eliminated from the playoffs, but we're eliminated from the playoffs.
It's highly likely at this point.
Yeah, thank God I don't watch them anyways at this point. I don't watch a lot of NHL hockey. I like watching junior hockey, USPHL, NCDC, BCHL when I can – get my eyes on it. The VIJHL, CCHL, right now even the EOJHL is in the playoffs with I think the Carlton Place Canadians and the Vikings are the series tied up at one. Of course, we're recording this on Sunday, April 7th in the late afternoon, but you listeners aren't probably hearing this till a little bit later in the week, but it's been a
it's been a quiet day.
Yeah, I need to go to the dentist. That sucks.
Ooh, that's no fun, especially when you're dealing with the lovely situation of not exactly being a resident yet.
Not yet. So I'm still a visitor and I get to go to the dentist without dental care coverage and pay for it fully. But it's been there a few times already. The same thing. We have this thing, like me and her don't need dental until we relocate. Like when we move to DC, she ended up with a dental issue before we had jobs, and we had to go in and see an emergency dentist. You know, a couple years go by, we moved back to Utah, and with just after moving there, she has a dental issue. We have to go into the dentist. Then we moved to Copenhagen, and then I have a dental issue just after we moved to Copenhagen, and we have to go to a dentist. Now that we've just relocated here, I have a dental issue, and we need to go to the dentist. It only happens right after we move.
It's kind of impressive timing, I'm not going to lie.
It's horrific timing is what it is.
It's consistently bad timing.
The universe is like, oh, you don't have dental coverage. This is a really good time to make you go see the dentist. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but I know I need to go. So, unfortunately, I might be going this week and paying full out of pocket. But as I will tell them, I'm like, can you just do the minimum amount of work possible so that when I get dental coverage, I can come back? Just enough to where I'm not in pain while eating or drinking something. That would just be great. So that's just how it works out, man. But we were also talking, I think we talked for about a half an hour before we actually started recording this podcast because I took a quick bathroom break before we hit record and my wife gave me the thumbs up. I'm like, no, we're just about to start recording. She's like, then what have I been doing this whole time? I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, because I thought you were recording. I'm like, oh, sorry. Well, I appreciate it. yeah, she's heard me complain about She becomes very active in the kitchen randomly when I'm on a recording. And I don't know. It happens. She won't spend any time in there all day long, but it'd be like, yeah, it's a great good time to clean the dishes or something. And I'm like, I could have done the dishes, you know, but I think it's a nicety gene. Cause I usually do the dishes that like, oh, if I'm on a recording, oh, you know what? I'll be nice and I'll do the dishes. And that's, I'm like, could you not do it when I'm recording though? You can nice it another time. Cause like I've cooked the last few dinners and I'm cooking tonight's dinner and the next dinner. I've been knocking it out of the ballpark lately with my recipes. I really haven't found a bad one as of recently. I cooked this really amazing Italian dish yesterday and I didn't think it would be good. I really didn't, but that's why you try new recipes. I mean, it had anchovies in it and like fresh hot chilies and, garlic, and I think those are the big base portions of the recipe. It was a pasta style recipe and had broccolini and such, and individually those elements might not be the greatest, but man, the way this recipe came together, that was gold, absolute gold. But again, I've knocked it out of the ballpark a lot recently, and I've got tonight's I'm doing a tortellini type meal, and then tomorrow I've already got the chicken and everything. I'm going to be doing like a Turkish chicken kebabs and Turkish rice and stuff. So,
ooh, that sounds good too.
It's going to be good. I love to cook.
Purposely making like a, since I just went to the baseball game, knocking it out of the ballpark, you know, little fun.
It might just be in the back of my head. There.
Yeah, exactly. He's got baseball on the mind, folks, even though this is a hockey podcast.
Obviously my, you know, if the listeners can't see me, but you know, the tear-filled eyes show that my Sabres are definitely not moving on. So I guess it's time to shift to baseball season. But, you know, my Sydney Swans have been doing pretty damn good, though. So, I mean, we're 4-1 now.
Is that Aussie football?
Yeah, Aussie rules football. I was even in the loss we had wasn't even that bad. It was like 82-77 in round three. So, and I know we're 4-1, but we kind of had that, like, I call it that week zero game. We're 4-1. We're doing great. I'm really happy with the way the team's playing. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Again, I am from Buffalo, so when I have teams that do well, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Hard to be full-on optimistic.
It really is. So anyway, it's right now probably not a pool I want to swim in. So let's talk about USPHL hockey. We originally recorded an episode, Sam, a week and a half ago, and we kind of did a awesome rundown, almost an hour long episode of the USPHL After Dark Fantasy League that we had this year. And sadly, due to my lack of awareness, my sound quality did not pick up from my Yeti mic. It picked up from, I don't know what. It was my computer or my headset. It was terrible. So that was a lost episode, and we're re-recording it. We had good content too. That was a good that was a funny episode.
I can't even remember what happened, but I mean, it sounds like something we would do, you know, have a fun time.
Yeah, it was fun. I only listened to the first few minutes of it because I'm like, I can't edit this. This is a lost cause. The last one that was this bad was one we recorded in France where it was the same thing. My sound had gone to hell because it wasn't picking it up from the mic, and we lose probably, I would say we probably lose about 4 episodes a year. It's about once a quarter we lose an episode because one of us didn't check our sound quality. And I would say by one of us, it's usually me. you know, I'm worried about so many other things that like prepping into a podcast, getting the script, getting our notes. I sometimes just forget the real basic element of, am I on the right recording mic? And that's kind of a big one to miss.
I mean, if you set yourself up for a complicated setup over there, then that's, you know, it happens. It makes sense.
That it does. And what can you do? It happens. But the great thing is this is not fortunately in this case, most of the information talking about the whole year from the USPHL Fantasy League that we had wasn't time specific. Now, all our playoff talk and our predictions leading into the NCDC playoffs were, so there's no point in repeating any of that. You listeners should have been able to hear most recently the NCDC Weekly, our new weekly series that we intend to do weekly. our goal is to try to do 52 episodes of those a year, kind of shorts, 20-minute episodes. Whether we do 52 or not is yet to be seen. If there's no content 1 week or it's just not going to be feasible, it won't drop. But most weeks, I will guarantee most weeks you'll have an NCDC weekly episode as of this past week. We're also going to be having a Mountain West Collegiate Hockey League weekly episode, as we have brought Justin Monroe, the Weber State broadcaster that I sufficiently roasted in most recent episodes, specifically with the jerseys. He has joined the Pigeonhole Hockey Podcast team. He will be joining me and Sam, hopefully, for most of those NCDC episodes. But in terms of the Mountain West Collegiate Hockey League, which is, for the listeners who don't know, because I kind of had to verify, I knew Weber State basically because A, I lived there. B, they don't know how to say Weber, right? But I will say Weber because it is Utah. But I know that one team basically because obviously I lived there and he's the broadcaster for that team. But the ACHA West has basically 50 teams in total. 19 of them are D1, 31 of them are D2. But we're really only beginning covering at the moment the 7 to 8 teams. And I say 7 to 8 because I'll explain in a second. Because that's the division he's in, and he watches those games. He covers his games. He watches those games. So has a familiarity with players. So it's going to be an easy 20-minute episode to drop each week as well and give those listeners out from the following universities that coverage. But obviously Weber State, and you also have Utah Valley Wolverines, Utah State Aggies, the University of Providence Argonauts, the University of Montana Grizz, the Montana State Bobcats, Boise State Broncos, and my question mark, the Idaho State Bengals. Because they are officially listed on Wikipedia and now the ACHA website. But I felt like there was some confusion about, because Idaho State, I think, is a program that's come back. Cool looking jerseys. But I think it needs some more time. But again, being a newer program, sort of returning. But I guess it's one of the eight now. So those will be those eight teams to kind of get that weekly coverage as well. So if you're from one of those universities or going to one of these universities, we're going to be talking about you. So Jack Jones, you hear me, buddy? We're going to talk about you again. So he was the previous captain of the Ogden Mustangs. He's playing with Weber State, defenseman number 26. So hopefully we'll be able to get him back on and talk about his Weber State Wildcats and talk about all that MWCHL action. I'm excited. I don't have to watch all the action. That'll be Justin's job. I'll try to pick up some recommendations from him throughout the week of like, watch this period of this game or watch this period of this game. So I'm aware of kind of what's happening, but he's the lead for those episodes. And that's great because, as you listeners have heard, if you want something covered, put it out there. As we're about to talk about the fantasy league, I won't be able to cover the USPHL West next year. So if you're a passionate fan of one of those divisions or the whole West and you want to watch all those games and give unbiased coverage, reach out. You know, we'll give you a 20-minute short. Or a monthly episode or something, whatever kind of works out best for you. I've had people reach out about different options I don't think I'm going to pursue. They just don't seem to work with where I want my podcast to be. But reach out. If you have an idea, reach out. Sam, it was fun. Dennis, this USPHL After Dark Fantasy League this year. Would you remind the listeners again who finished first overall?
I believe it was the owner of the Laser Sharks.
Who is that?
That would be yours truly.
Congrats.
Thank you. It was definitely a lot of fun to be a part of this. And, you know, doing the draft episodes were a lot of fun. Keeping track of all the different players and all the different moves throughout the season. And, you know, sniping some things a couple times. And
yeah, you did.
And having players, you know, pop off and go crazy and seeing them have great years. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to be a part of it. And I'll always hold that trophy close to my heart, no matter if we do the fantasy league again at some point down the road or not. We'll see.
Yeah, it's the curse of the broadcaster, because last year, Brendan Price, the broadcaster from the Northern Colorado Eagles, won the fantasy league. And here you are, on the broadcasting team for the Rogue Valley Royals, winning the fantasy leagues.
You gotta stop bringing us in. Yeah, God, it's on you, clearly.
Apparently. Well, at least I improved this year. Last year, I finished fourth. This year, I was I was trying to get that second. And for listeners that did hear the most recent episode of the NCDC Weekly, Brody Simcoe was on my final roster, and I had him for a good portion of the remainder of the season. And what the hell, Brody? He has gone off in the playoffs. Like, I see him score, and I'm like, yes. But, like, that double extra yes, because my brain's also thinking I'm getting points to catch you, but the season's over. Brody Simcoe's had 6 goals in 4 games.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he has been a one-man wrecking crew for the Ogden Mustangs. And, yeah, I could have used those points at the end of the season trying to catch you. But, you know, you were not being caught. I mean, congrats to Brody. He's been just lighting it up for Ogden, and they're going to need that firepower against Utah this weekend. But I tell you, man, great rosters. You know, we definitely have different rosters now that from what we started with. And I guess since I finished second, I'll kind of do the rosters of 6-4-2, and you can do the rosters of 5-3-1. And I'll start with the Mallard Menish finish 6th overall. That was Justin Monroe's team. His final roster included goaltenders Tucker Inabine from Idaho, Josh Henson from Ontario, and Isaac Colasa from Rogue Valley. On the blue line, he had Jacob Tarian from San Diego, Felix Carriander from Fresno, and Blaze Ebbinghaus from Rogue Valley. And his forwards included Hunter Hayes from Pueblo, Luke Ory from Provo, Roman Cherniak from Ogden, Andre Matas from Casper, Scott Slayback from Vegas, Aero Larilla from Lake Tahoe, Justin Ouellette from San Diego, Seth Morris from Seattle, and Christian Dixon from Fresno. So he did actually the final, I would say, 5 or 6 weeks was the one accumulating the most amount of points. He had already kind of dug himself into a deep hole. And I want to say every single time he made a move, it backfired on him. It was almost, I don't know what to say about it. Every single time I see him make a move, I'm like, okay, well, interesting. And or he picks someone up and immediately that player would either be moved out of the USPHL or get injured or get promoted and nobody noticed where they went. And I'd be like, oh, this player's missed 3 or 4 games. Where are they? Because you don't notice until truthfully, because there's nothing that really gets published on any site. Like if a player moves to a different team in the USPHL that's outside the West, I don't really start looking until they hit that 3-game mark, because we have rules. You can't just release players for any reason. They have to miss 3 consecutive games, 6 cumulative, or get moved outside of the West, and then they're immediately releasable. But until they kind of hit that 3-game mark, you don't know they've been moving. I'm like, oh, look, they went to the New York Aviators. Hey, your player's releasable.
<It's>, surprise.
But, yeah. And that happened to him a lot this year, but he had some talent on his team, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that, like, you know, you go down the roster of the guy who finished in what we'll technically call last. And it's like, he had some unbelievable talent on that team, whether it's Inabine in goal, Tarian on the blue line, Cherniak and Seth Morris, like everybody's team had some serious talent on it. And it was competitive throughout the year. And like you said, Justin put on a good show towards the end. Moving on, we'll go to number 5, the Ice Wolves. That was Goldie Wood's team, a.k.a. Heath. He had Sam Peterson from Vegas in net, along with Ethan Jordan from Fresno and Nicholas Perry from San Diego. On the blue line, he had Marcus Glenn of Casper, Nick Benaldi of Vegas, and Will Sinclair of Pueblo. Then in the forward spots, he had Dimitri Voyatsis of Ogden, Eddie Polisian of Pueblo, Carson Strapon from Utah, Jackson Litzinger from San Diego, Noah Person from Fresno, Vaclav Sedivi from Seattle, Christopher Lai of Ontario, Ethan Gray of Lake Tahoe, and David Dumanil of Bakersfield.
Yeah, again, another talented team. He started off the season real strong. He has some big firepower on his team. And Keith kind of had this mythology of he wasn't just going to move players to move players unless the players literally left. If the players were injured or long-term injured, unless they swapped out to a different roster, which he had several players that left the USPHL West for different USPHL teams or elsewhere. Unless they literally left the USPHL West, he didn't drop them. So I know people are like, well, this player hasn't played for like 20 something games. I'm like, but he never left the roster. So he didn't drop him. but he had a lot of talent on his roster. And I guess his way of looking at it is unless the player left USPHOS, they stayed on his roster.
Yeah, exactly. That seemed to be the theme from him throughout the season.
Yeah, it did. And so, again, he had basically what Noack Pearson put up with 85 goals this year, not points, goals. So, and he finished fifth. So,
yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Dimitri Roiasis, again, another big time goal scorer there. Sam Peterson was just a workhorse for Vegas. I mean, it's just, he had a lot of talent on his team. But at number four, you had the Poutine Passe, which is Steve's team. And in net, he had Philip Rondina from Utah, Mathis Therrien from Rock Springs, and Loic Saint-Denis Lacombe from San Diego. And on the blue line, he had Philip Lozani from Vernal, Cooper Contola from Ontario, and Johnny Gunn from Lake Tahoe. His forwards consisted of Jack Hansen from Pueblo, Garrett Yost from Utah, Cameron Krause from Casper, Tristan Frazada from San Diego, Mark Scioli from Vegas, Chase Perry from Vernal, Adrian Gomez from Bakersfield, and he kind of went back and forth between Bakersfield and Utah, Trevor Laux from Seattle, and Connor Perdue from Fresno. So, again, he kind of had the same type of season the Mallard Menace had. When he'd make a move, it would backfire on him. A player would get hurt, or the player he just released because they just can't, like, oh, they've missed six games, I'm releasing them. He'd release them. That player would come back the following game and start tearing it up, and the next player he picked up would miss games. It just happened for some of these teams.
And then by the time that the good moves came around, like him getting Krause and Frazado and Scioli, all of those guys were very, very impressive throughout the year, and Rondina and Therrien. It's just like by the time that the good moves came around, it was just a little bit too late with the hole that he was in, kind of like Justin, like you said. So good season from Steve nonetheless, definitely competitive for a while. And in the top three now, in the third place, the bronze medal, is the Fighting Beavers from Sebastian. B-Bass. So we're going to start with his goalies, which were Bo Altman from Pueblo, Sebald Dibiak from Lake Tahoe, and Camden Widgington from Seattle. Oh my goodness, he was so good in net for Seattle. on the blue line, he had Steven Blangino from Fresno, Emil Rodrigue from Bakersfield, and Keegan Clark from Bellingham. And then in the forwards, he had Makar Klochkov of Utah, William Johnson of Pueblo, Cooper Fink of Ogden, Kananga Mangala of Casper / Rock Springs, Yegor Kabataev of Fresno, Francois Xavier Moreau from Bakersfield, Noah Morency from Vegas, Jonathan Yoksoy from Vernal, and Tristan Friedman from Ontario, which I just realized so many names of those were impossible for me to pronounce. So he had the impossible to pronounce team is what we're going with.
Yeah, he Cooper Fink is hard to say.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for... It's called a color commentator, Chris. that's a shout out to a couple episodes ago. Anyways.
Oh, that was funny. I couldn't think of whatever word it was. You're like, color commentator? I'm like, no.
No, that was just because you've taken some pucks to the head doesn't mean you're stupid, all right?
Oh, no, it just works special. A little bit slower. I look at pucks sometimes and I'm like, I could just throw a couple at my head. I understand Steve's thing like there. Just rock one off my helmet first and get me into the game. It's, you know, we're not normal. But no, he had a stacked team and he made a late time comeback. I think he was deep in the fifth. Like he was almost falling into sixth, and suddenly he just started making moves and polar opposite of the Mallard Menace and Poutine Passe. He would make a move and it would instantly start working for him. And I was kind of concerned he was about to catch me because he was starting to get close. He just made moves at the perfect times, because even then there was a couple times where I'm like, okay, when I can release a player or two, I'm going to try to pick up these players. He would already have been eyeing them down. There's a few players that kind of started with my roster, like Jonathan Yaxhoy. I drafted him initially because he's my, you know, fellow Copenhagen kid there, and off he went to Motor City. So I released him, obviously, because we can't score points out of Motor City. And then he came back. The second he came back, like a ninja, Sebastian's like, snipe, because he knew I was going to pick him up. and that's kind of how a lot of this went, which we're going to get into, Sam, is sniping players. And but before we continue the hockey talk, let's talk about a worthy cause. Wilson House Coffee It supports the funding of immediate rescues while also ensuring they can expand in the future with their Grounds for Grounds campaign, focusing on four pillars with their approach to rescuing, including prevention, collaboration, education and awareness, and rescue. A piece of the mission of Wilson House Coffee is to generate funding for property and land to open up Wilson House Coffee and Sanctuary, focusing on equine companions and dogs who need a second chance. For the moment, Wilson House Coffee and Rescue Sanctuary primarily focuses on horses, donkeys, and mules, as well as canine companions who need a safe place to land. There is no shortage of animals who found themselves in precarious positions, but there is certainly a shortage of safe havens. Whether that is while they search for the perfect forever home in an adoption or providing a sanctuary where they can live out the rest of their days at Wilson House Coffee free of problems that addled their lives prior to intervention. This takes the funding and a lot of it. Hence, Coffee to the Rescue is born. Wilson House Coffee profits will help build a solid foundation for an eventual property, as well as, over time, build a steady stream of revenue to support the rescue, staffing, animal residents, and expansion, all while helping rescues who are already established by networking giving back to them as well. So you can support these efforts by either supporting directly wilsonhousecoffee.com. That's house spelled with H-A-U-S /collections/angel-invest. And grab a few coffees while you're at it, including Bark Roast, Drop It, Decaf, Farfetched, Morning Mutt, Rescue Fuel, or Unleashed Espresso, amongst others. And while you're there, again, maybe consider leaving a donation or sharing their cause. Now let's get back to hockey content. We'll move into my final roster, as I did finish second. And in net, I had Nikita Volsky from Ogden, Levente Hedjadus from the Verona Oilers, and Stefan Vernikov from San Diego. On the blue line, I had Tim Gradin from San Diego, Logan Walls from Vegas, and DJ McLeish from Idaho. My forwards consisted of Brody Simcoe, the sixth goal scorer in four games so far for the Ogden Mustangs, Ryan Roski from Provo, and Dallas Glenn from Rock Spring slash mostly the season Casper, as well as Andre Kell from Rogue Valley, Mason Witt from Vegas, Caden LaRockwell from Ontario, Carter Lehman from Lake Tahoe, Emil Liu from Fresno, and Luke Anthony from Seattle. So I have a pretty stacked roster.
Yeah.
I did have at one point in the season Mario Paganini and Connor Dumanil. And as you make moves throughout the season to try to catch your opponents, you release players that you can release in order to pick up, because you got to make, like, I would make strategic moves, or so I thought. I mean, it did land me in second, so I didn't do terrible. You take the risk of releasing like a Mario Paganini or a Connor Dumanil. And Sam, who ended up with those players by chance? I'm curious.
Well, they both ended up on my team. And yeah. Certainly in the case of Mario, it was a favorable moment for me. But yes. Yeah, I mean, your team definitely had some talent all along. I mean, your three goalies there all did fantastic. LaRocque Wolf was ridiculous throughout the year. Lou being on Fresno, that helped. And Luke Anthony was a top liner in Seattle all year long. So it was close, but in the end, my Laser Sharks came out on top. And we're going to start with the goalies of Michael Polston, Kai Rivas, and Connor Dumanil from Provo, Casper, / Bellingham, and Bakersfield, respectively. At the blue line, we're going to go Nicholas Modlin from Bakersfield, Peter Konopka from Seattle, and Mateo Mitrovic from Utah. Then I had Parker Osborne at forward out of Ogden, as well as Christoph Molnar from Rock Spring / Casper, Mario Paganini out of San Diego, Theo Foucher out of Bakersfield, Roberto Matthias Jr. from the Rogue Valley Royals, Roman Wolinek from Seattle, Reese Doyle from Ontario, Oliver Berlin-Sjostrom from Fresno, and Tyler Hansen from your Rogue Valley Royals.
Now Boise State, Idaho.
Exactly. Boise State Broncos. I mean, just a lot of the stuff worked out in the draft, and it was a lot of fun to keep track of a number of these guys throughout the season who just managed to stick around and just keep putting up points left and right. And but really the thing that sealed it was the addition of Mario. That made all the difference in the world.
It did, but I mean, your other producers, there's no other, they kind of little misfactor, because I'm the one that did the points. Here's something that I saw from your team that I didn't see from any other team throughout the season. And there would be these situations, and it irked me because I was trying to catch you all year, but it didn't matter if if I had a game where like the team that I had like two players on and they lit up another team 12-1 and they might got an assist or something, I'm like, okay. And your player would be on a team where they lost a game 4-1, but that one goal was a shorthanded goal from your player. And I'm like, the hell, you produce more. Your players were just scoring at the right times all the time. And I'd look at scores. I'm like, oh, I'm catching them this week. And somehow you'd still outscore me because your guys would be sometimes the only players producing points on their team sometimes throughout the season. Especially towards the end when I was trying to catch you, you just had this magic touch with even talk about like specifically like a Christoph Molnar. Cause he spent a good portion of the season with Casper, but then he went back to Rock Springs and then Casper. And then I think again in Rock Springs, he would sometimes be when Casper would be struggling to score, would be the only guy somehow producing points, or didn't matter what, if he wasn't scoring, he was on all the assists or something. It was one of those situations all season where your guys found a way to get those little knickknack points all year long that just didn't let me catch you when you jumped in the first. Because I think I held first for about the first third of the season, and Heath jumped in, I think, for like a week. And then you leapfrogged both of us.
I did.
In 1 week. And then you never looked back. And then I jumped back over him. And then he fell to fifth eventually. But it was just unbelievable how the way you picked your players towards the, as you shifted players again, because we can't just release players. There has to be a reason to release a player. Is when you did release a player, it was extremely strategic. And when you'd pick a player up, it was very strategic.
Yeah.
And our strategies were different. Yours was clearly better than mine.
It was close though.
But yeah, as great of a season Mario had, your consistent point producers, especially guys like Polston, were just ridiculous.
I mean, I think that Parker Osborne was also the other pickup of the year. I mean, when I had the opportunity to look at other NCDC players, I was like, all right, I'll take a chance on, you know, I'm looking at a handful of guys from certain teams and who's doing well. And I think that Osborne hadn't necessarily played in like every game up to that point, or he was not even at a point per game possibly. But once I picked him up, he just started popping off pretty much every week. So
Tyler Hansen.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like Tyler Hansen was consistently points throughout the season and he kind of cooled off towards the end of the year, but Roberto Matthias kind of started quiet and then just started lighting things up. And when it came to the guys like Roman Wallenek, it was like knick-knack, paddywhack, give the Sharks a point. It was like no matter what, he was always finding a way to get you points. Reese Doyle, I was terrified every single time Ontario hit the ice because I'm like, okay, I have Caden Lock-Wolf, great, but you have Reese Doyle. And I'm like, every single time I got a point, you basically got a point.
Yeah, it was like both of those guys were fantastic. And it's like,
yes.
I think that, you know, by the end of the season, yes, Laroque Wolf was the number one forward, but Reese Doyle was number two and was not far off. And that helped like kind of be able to offset really, like you said, any progress that you were making.
Yeah, because I get excited because I have, of course, listeners can't see this, but I have the points arranged from started like not range, but the rosters. I start with the Beavers, then my Pandas, then the Wolves, the Menace, the Sharks, and the Posse. So I score my points before I score yours. And I'd always be kind of like, oh, good, I'm going to catch up this week. And then I do your points. I'm like, oh, thanks.
You hear that, folks? I've been demoralizing Chris for months now.
yeah, it was hard to do the points this year. But it is a lot of work, too. But it was fun. Course. It was a lot of fun. And
I appreciate all the work that you did and how you set this up. And I think that, you know, like you mentioned in our previous recording that, you know, there were certain rule changes that happened earlier in the season that actually benefited everybody except for the person who suggested it, ironically enough. But I think, like, the rule changes were helpful. The rules that were set in place in the first part were great. And I think that the roster setup was nearly perfect. If anything, like you've told me previously, like maybe just a skosh smaller would help. But But I think that everything went pretty smoothly this year, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, I look even back at my starting roster from week one, and six players never left my roster.
Yeah, that's out of that's 12. Solid.
Yeah, and like Logan Walls was my only defenseman that never left my roster. And when it came to five forwards, Andres Kell, Caden LaRocque-Wolfe, Carter Lehman, Dallas Glenn, Emile Louvre, they never left my roster. And I look at the forwards I released. One guy, I believe, it looks like I think he left the Bulls. So he left the Bulls for a different team outside the West. Yaxhoy had left, eventually came back, but I couldn't pick him up. Ellingson, I had him all season until he left. Because he went to Minnesota, I think. My gamble of releasing Mario temporarily backfired as you picked him up. Beyond that, like, you picked up Dumanil when I released him. And the rest of my players, I think Luke Foss I released when he got injured because he was gone for a while. Preston Law Pitts, I started with him at the beginning of the season. And I want to say he missed a chunk of games somewhere. It's the second a player missed three games. I was basically trying to find a player that was playing regularly because I didn't know if they'd be gone for just those three games or if they'd be gone for 15. So the risk you take. And then I had guys like ETA and Casey Johnson to start the season, but neither of those goalies got a lot of starts. So eventually I'd pick up other goal. And honestly, I think my goalie rotation was absurd.
You were going left and right through goalies, it felt like.
Yeah, I went through goalies. Like, again, as a goalie, I released goalies like it was nobody's business. They were also the easiest position to move because they're the position that they don't get the most starts. Obviously, these other roles, defense and forward, they get a lot more, unless they're injured or just a healthy scratch, they don't miss a lot of games. Goalies, they might only get that one or two games a weekend. So they can accumulate those six misses pretty quick. And then you use them as, truthfully, I use them as bargaining chips, so to speak, to kind of move other players. Cause I'm like, okay, I have this goalie and I don't want to release him. And that's kind of what happened with me in Dumanil is I'm like, I need to release this goalie and this forward so I can pick up this goalie and then I'll pick up this forward. And that's kind of how you ended up with Dumanil. Cause it was my risk factor. I'm like, I wanted to pick up another goalie and I'm like, well, I can't release this goalie yet. So I'll release this goalie and hope nobody picks him up. And it's kind of my gamble with Mario as well. Cause Mario missed a small chunk of games. I'm like, I'm just going to release him right now so I can find someone and I'll have another forward. I can just drop when I need to eventually, cause they'll miss enough games and I'll pick Mario back up. And you're like, yeah, I know he's missing games right now, but I'll pick him up. He'll come back. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Exactly. Those are the words.
Yeah, was what I said. I wasn't happy, but yeah, but Steve liked the because I picked off Connor Dumanil to start the season. When you picked him off for me, Steve's like, "How do you feel? How does it feel, man?" Steve didn't notice. Steve didn't notice that Dumanil had been released because Steve wasn't watching the messages, and you did. And you're like, "And I'll just move in here."
Yeah, let me squeeze right in real quick. But yeah. Like you mentioned, I just wanted to briefly mention that the Fighting Beavers also started the season with Austin Tessier, and he was great for Lake Tahoe. But I was just counting the amount of players that I managed to get. Like, I mean, I think that just really, really what started it all was my draft turned out to be quite successful, despite me going into it with no real knowledge outside of my own division. But I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five forwards that never left my team, two defensemen that never left my team, and a goalie that never left my team. So that's eight players that I drafted that all stayed throughout the season somehow.
Yeah, and you use those other four positions to kind of maneuver. And I think a lot of our rosters did. I mean,
sorry, I think you're thinking ahead to what you want the roster size to be. We're actually, we got 15 at the moment.
Oh, we got 15. Thank you. I felt that. Okay. Yeah. That feels more realistic. Yeah. Cause it was 10 last year. That was a lot more manageable.
It's okay. We got too big and now we're going to find the middle ground if we bring it back at some point.
Yeah, if we come back for a third season of the Fantasy League, and again, it might not be just me watching the games. I'm not going to be watching the Western USPHL next year. I mean, there's going to be a few teams I tune into. I tune into your Rogue Valley Royals. I'll tune into Bakersfield. I'll tune into like Lake Tahoe or something. And beyond that, unless there's I can't tune into all of them. So I'll tune into specific teams. It's if we do a version of this next year, it will not involve the NCDC. I'm giving the NCDC its own episodes. We won't be involving them in the fantasy draft if we do one. And if we do, it's going to go probably back down to those 10 positions. I mean, it's fun. The draft is fun. The draft is probably the most fun part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing the points every week is not so much fun. So we're going to end up having to have a volunteer, I think, next year if we do it to kind of, I think me and you were drafting up ideas if we did do it next season, what it could look like.
Yeah, we'll let people know whether
if it happens. Or not.
But we of course have unfortunately an off season ahead of us to figure out all that stuff. And thankfully, there's still NCDC hockey, to make up for the lack of NHL hockey. But lack of enjoyable NHL hockey.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's still on, but neither of us are watching it.
The Sharks just lost again, actually, to Steve's Coyotes. But we'll let people know for sure. But the Fantasy League was a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, it was a blast, and we'll see what next year holds. If anybody's willing to do the points, we'll do it, because people have a lot of fun with it. But we'll see. That'll be a TBD. Let's just say. Yeah, we want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date. This is the Pigeon Hockey Podcast with Chris and Sam.
Take care, hockey fans.
And remember, listeners, always clear your crease.